Hey, folks. We're here in the Channel 9 studio. I'm Dan Fernandez, and our special guest, Rob Relier, to make sure I get your name right. I probably have pronounced your name incorrectly many a time.
You nailed it this time, though.
And you were talking about the Kinect for Windows SDK refresh,
yep.
Right? So this was just announced probably yesterday, based on when we're going to post the video. But what's new in this refresh?
Well, we listened to customers who have been using the beta one since June, and listened to them on the forums, listened to them on the blogs, and we wanted to do a couple different things. First of all, in the driver, we wanted to make sure it got better and better, more stable. There were a few people who had blue screens. There were some people who had sleep issues with their PC, so we did a number of improvements there. We even did a really cool feature so that basically if you stopped using Kinect, we stop shining red lights in your eyes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
we can turn off the light now when your application's not running anymore.
No, the actual app, the blinking green light will stay on. This is specifically the infrared light, right? Once you started an app, it would always be on.
Right, exactly. Now, the blinking light, we're thinking about how we should handle that as well, but it's not in this release yet.
Okay.
Trying to figure out when we should leave it solid, when we should have it solid green. Should we leave it green if no application's actually watching you at that time?
So, and should, how do people give feedback? You mentioned the forums, like, and I know you guys are listening to a lot, and there's just been a ton of questions on there, but, like, is that the best way to give feedback in terms of, hey, here's how I think you guys should handle the green light? I know there's somebody spending their nights not sleeping, how to handle, you know, blinking versus solid versus off.
Right. We've got top people working on this right now. But absolutely, raising your own issues or reacting to those issues on the forum is great, and then also you can get to the forums by going to research.microsoft.com/connectSDK, and there's a link there for download and docs and forums and things like that. Our team also has a Twitter account, so ConnectSDK team.
Yeah.
You can see it right here. No, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, now Michael has to add it. He'll sure. He doesn't need to sleep tonight. You mentioned a lot of this stuff. Now, people do have to uninstall the current version.
Sure.
Right? And then reinstalling, that's where you get the driver update. Now, how about API stuff?
Sure.
So on both the C side and the .NET side.
Right. So, yes, of course, we have a couple layers in our runtime, what we call our runtime. So there's C++ developers can code to our native runtime.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a tremendous amount of change there. I'll talk about them both at one time. We also have a managed runtime, so it's microsoft.research.connect.dll, which is available to manage developers, C#, VB, other languages as well. So we're doing a number of things in there, but mostly basic things here. That's why we're calling it a beta 1 refresh. I know that some people have already said, well, why isn't this called beta 2?
Yeah,
and if I had to do it again, maybe we'd do that. But it really was a quick iteration. We're just going ahead and listening quickly to
the big
people.
Stability issues, for sure.
Yeah, the stability issues.
One.
We're also working on things like frame synchronization. So you get color images and you get depth images.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make it so that you can synchronize those things better. And we realized we had some problems there. We realized that, well, if you weren't listening to skeleton data, then depth data wouldn't have frame numbers. We realized that there were other problems there as well. We would increment some frame numbers by 2 instead of by 1.
Making it more consistent, and just so people can figure it out. Now, how do you do the synchronization? So, because I know a lot of people have been looking at that, and some people that are cool enough to have access to the XDK get the ability to do synchronization easily. But what's the best way or recommended way or to do that?
Well, one of the reasons why we worked on some of those issues is because we were working on a sample that we're preparing to release. So we're experimenting with the best way to do it now, and we're also trying to make sure that our APIs can best handle it. There's future changes we want to make to handle it better. Fundamentally, keeping track of the frames on both sides and then going and looking up for the matching frame is the way to do that. And we can follow up with a post of a sample coming soon that talks about how to do that the best way. So in the runtime, just some other changes that we made, both in the native and the managed space, we also wanted to avoid developer confusion. And with our first beta, there were some things that people tripped up on. They said, oh, I found this API that sounds like it should do exactly what we wanted to. And it sounded like it. Yes, it did.
And it does nothing.
It did nothing. So because we wanted to release quickly here with this beta 1 refresh, we just basically removed those APIs.
Right.
So we quickly removed a number of APIs, and then there were some read-write APIs that really should be read-only. We did those. We did a lot of documentation work as well, so we really wanted to go out with an improved quality, improved stability, but less developer confusion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then meanwhile, we've got lots of great ideas on what we should do next and are doing for future releases. And we continue to engage with the community, but hopefully now with a less confused developer community with some of those corner cases.
Now, I know you mentioned some of the docs, and I'm going to, you know, put you on the spot, but I think one of the docs had basically a breakdown on a lot of the new different features around depth and Skeleton Engine. And one of the examples that you mentioned to me was the fact that the Skeleton Engine frame ready event will now keep firing, because this is one of the issues that we run into. Both Clint and I were having to do timers because there was never a you'd get a skeleton frame ready event, and it would start firing if there was a skeleton that was set to is tracked. But if you ever lost a skeleton, that event would never fire, so you'd never know if you actually lost a skeleton. Like, there's no skeleton loss event, or there's nothing
right.
to that. And you guys made a change there as well.
Right, so we just made a change in the runtime to make sure we kept on firing that event if you were listening to it, even if people all disappeared.
Okay, great.
So you can get rid of some of those hacks. So sample code and people's application code should be able to be simpler and that a few other key cases.
And I think the other one was the depth, not depth and skeleton. I forget exactly what the detail was. Do you remember?
Well, there was one having to do with if you weren't listening to skeleton, then depth frame number, you know, the depth frames didn't have frame numbers on them.
Right, right. Maybe that's the
and there were also about. Some, let's see. Oh, you know, there's also in the depth data, there's different representations of that. We did a couple things there. Well, first of all, in the depth data, you get millimeters away. You know, you get some number of pixels that you ask for, 640 by 480,
mm-hmm.
and you get how many millimeters you're away. You also get player IDs if you have skeletal tracking.
Right, right.
So if you didn't access the skeleton data, though, you wouldn't get player ID before in that stuff. So
right.
you had to kind of ask for everything, or else it wouldn't be wired up correctly. So we improved that. We improved that. We also improved the documentation around that, because the bit layout in the depth data isn't mm-hmm. that friendly.
No, not exactly, which is why we tried to abstract it out for the Coding for Fun
right.
objects to make it less painful.
Right, exactly. And we wrestled with, in this short time frame, should we go ahead and make it consistent and kind of make people go through backflips but always be the same, whether you're asking for player data and
right,
depth data
right.
or just depth. We left it the same to not break much stuff right now.
Right.
And we're looking to see what the right strategy is there. We'd like to make it a little more usable. And there's a lot of things in the Coding for Fun project and other people's ideas as well that we'd like to go ahead and make our API more usable.
Cool. Very cool. Anything else in terms of, I guess the big thing is resources. And I know this is a refresh, but where do people get started? So to download and install the new version and to read some of the new docs and stuff
right.
like that.
So it's all posted the same place it was before. If you go to research.microsoft.com/ConnectSDK, that'll link you to everything. And if you pay attention, that has a link to our team Twitter account, ConnectSDK team, and that's a great place. It also links to the forums where you can give us your feedback, your dreams, your wishes, all those things.
Excellent. And you guys are listening, so that's great. So cool stuff. Rob, thanks again for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Cool. Thanks.